I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It girls, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your womb. Hannestine squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune in, chill out, and feel good inside. Like it girls.
Hey girls, welcome back to It Girls Podcast. This is Jenny.
This is Lindsay, and Stella is snoring in the background. Yeah. She's asleep beside us, so you may hear little muffles and snores.
Yeah. Oh my god, this is gonna be our last episode recorded on our old gear. We've got, like, we're setting up a little home studio in the next week or so. So dying. If you hear a different sound next week, it might sound a little bit more intimate.
Intimate, more home, more professional.
Yes, queens. But what are we talking about this week, honey?
So I was on live last Thursday, and I do this thing on live when people can come onto the live and join me. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool to be able to talk to people who listen to the podcast, or most of them are ex-gals who come on. I had two ex-gals on, and one gal came on and she said that she really related to some of the stories that I say because of my upbringing. Mm-hmm. Because she was also brought up in a born-again Christian household.
No way. And so, like, the same kind of church that you would have been brought up in.
Yeah, totally. And the same, like, Christian camps at the summer and all that kind of stuff. So it was so amazing because, like, in school, in secondary school, I felt so isolated. Like, I was the only one. Like, everyone else had, like, Catholic family, so they could kind of relate. And I was the only one with, like, these weird Bible basher parents that they used to call them. And I just felt like such a nerd because I wasn't allowed to do so much stuff. I wasn't allowed to watch Friends and all this kind of stuff. So being able to talk to someone else in the same experience and have her be able to relate was just so great. And it kind of just made me think of, like, our last show in Vicar Street, where a good few people that I used to go to church with went, and I didn't know that they were even listeners. And I was like, this is so fucking cool, because there was a total epidemic when I look back at some of the things that were said to me in Sunday school, in Christian camp, in church, from my mom. I'm like, whoa, that actually really penetrated deeply into the person that I am now, that I'm still trying to kind of, like, uncoil certain things that I would have been taught that are absolutely insane, but that I still hold inside me because they were so drilled into me when
but
I was younger.
It's totally understandable how that would happen, because, like, when you grow up, you know, we only ever see our parents as, like, truth givers. Like, what they say is, like, the undoubted truth to us. So no matter what that is, if it's religious, or even if it's just your morals, or seeing your parents' relationships, like, we absorb so much of how it's presented to us as children, and then we accept that as the truth. And then it's really only as you grow up, when you start to see your parents as people, then you're like, hold on, you don't know more than me. So, like, all of those things do penetrate into you so deeply, but especially when it is a belief system, I think that's, like, it must be so different. Because, I mean, you know, obviously not everyone's going to be able to relate growing up in, like, a born again Christian household, but in Ireland, obviously, it being such a historically religious, culturally religious country, you know, that way, not just, like, say in England, like, there's, like, Protestantism and stuff, but they've gone through so many, like, different kind of religious movements that it's not as penetrated into the culture as it was in Ireland with the Catholic Church.
It's not as accepted, that type of behavior, and here it was very, like,
well, it was celebrated as well, like, you know, I mean, if we're talking about the Catholic Church, it was, like, you know,
and some people that I went to church with. So we had a conversation, and I got her to actually send a voice message that we're going to be playing later, because she told this story that I was, like, mind blown, because not only did it remind me of certain things that were taught to me and all these different, like, analogies that they used to use in the church to kind of paint this, like, really descriptive picture of how terrible sex is and all these other things, but then getting, like, messages from people from, like, their Catholic upbringings or Protestant upbringings, mm-hmm. and or even just conservative parents, whether it's, like, was nothing to do with religion, seeing that, like, women in Ireland and men were going through this stress of trying to like grow up and be a teenager and experience normal things that teenagers do and not feel like you are sinning or going to go to hell because you snog someone down the back of a fucking bike shed. Do you know what I mean? So it just kind of made me reflect on It Girls and Ex Girls as a whole and just really how I appreciate being able to have this platform and what we've created to be able to like speak through certain things that, you know, I feel like It Girls is so important because Jenny and I speak probably in a way that, like, you know, speech and conversation is dying out because when you're hanging out with your friends a lot of the time, you're picking up your phone, you're scrolling mid-conversation. We don't dedicate, like, sitting down, we're talking.
And, yeah, like, we have to do that. With hour-long dialogue.
Yeah, no, like, interruptions. And
not in a way of, like, obviously there's, like, people online, but I always find it so different to the medium of a podcast, like, say, like, Instagram Live or, yeah, Instagram Live less so. But more so like stories, should I say, and like IGTVs, like they're very scripted, they're very like purposeful, and they're, you know, they're obviously way shorter and they obviously can be really great and really useful and educational, but they only ever skim the surface. But I feel like with a podcast and with It Girls, we've been able to like on so many topics, but specifically sex and like sex in like the Irish context, we've been able to like really kind of go quite deep into it. And I think this episode will be really interesting to so many people because even though like I grew up in like quite a liberal household and I went to a school that was like an Educate Together school and no uniforms and all these things, like I can still see the effects of like Catholic Ireland or conservative Ireland in like my peers and in myself, because it's impossible not to absorb some of it at some point in your life.
It was everywhere, it was all around us, and I'm just so thankful to have It Girls and Ex Girls as a way to express certain things and also be celebrated and be able to share with other people who've been through the same thing. I just see it as invaluable because it has helped me grow in my thoughts so much and be able to, like, you know, I got a message from a girl and she was saying, I don't want to, because I think I went through a phase and I'm still kind of in it sometimes where I like almost resent my upbringing and resent, you know, certain things that were said to me. And I'm like, that was so wrong looking back and I didn't know. And I was so impressionable because I was so young and, you know, an unpracticed human. And this is what was put in front of me. And I was like just absorbing it and being like, oh, I'm so scared of sex, boys are the devil. You know, all these thoughts that were pushed into my brain and I resented it. But like it has definitely, you know, I'm an adult now. I have full responsibility to form my own thoughts. And, you know, I just think that with the like success of It Girls and Ex Girls, it's given me this like strength and foundation of feeling like, okay, I'm not a sinner, I'm not bad, and I can relate to girls who are in the same position, and it's so cool. So I'm just so thankful, and I love that I can meet people like through live and through the fucking Instagram or through It Girls who have related to us because we're so open. I think it's so valuable to be open online.
It's so funny when to go back on your point about like resenting that. Like I know they say like you shouldn't resent things that have already happened and that it's like a hard kind of pill to swallow and it's a, you know, and you know, a toxic kind of thing to hold on to, but I can totally understand that. And I think we can also, as human beings, like we can resent, say you can resent that upbringing without like resenting your parents, I think. And I think that's where people kind of get a lot of confusion because they're like, oh, I don't want to resent my upbringing because they think it's a reflection on their parents. But I think like you have a bit of a right to resent some things that were said to you, no matter who they're from, because I think that we only are really in the last, like, probably Ireland in the last maybe like 20 years kind of seeing the full effect of especially like cultural kind of conservatism. Because, you know, in Ireland, you know, there's always this thing of like you're like a, is it like a cultural Catholic where it's like, yeah I made me communion now, but I don't go to mass. But you still inherit the Catholic guilt, you still inherit like so much of the cultural aspect of the conservatism and the shame around sex or slut shaming or whatever it may be. You still inherit that, and we're kind of only seeing that now because, like, say our mum and dad's generation, my mum and dad wouldn't be specifically Christian or Catholic people practicing, but I'm sure throughout my childhood, they still would have held on to some things that they've absorbed from the previous generation, you know, that way. So it's still the shackles are still there.
The shackles are still totally there. And in terms of like resentment, I think it's like, you know, I love my parents and have a great relationship with them, but still their whole idea of faith and their, you know, they live for God, which I understand. And they have such a strong belief system, and they do, you know, they practice religion and they go to church and they have rules that they abide by, and they still want me to do that. So that's where hard. It's kind of, and it comes up now that I'm dating and I'm single, and it's easier when I'm in a relationship because they like normality. But like dating was very much frowned upon from the get-go. We were told, if we're going to get into it, so let's start with this, because this is like, you know, I was brought up in church and it's all fun and games, literally, when you're like younger, like when, before you kind of get to secondary school, it is like you're just, you know, singing random Bible songs and like playing random games and playing Duck Duck Goose, whatever.
Same in a lot of churches, you know.
And it's fine and it's fun.
They lure you in when you're young in the Catholic Church. Yeah, they're like, want to make a load of money?
Yeah, like, we don't have any of that. Like, I wasn't baptized or christened or whatever, all those things. But
the Christian idea, because I went to also a school, a secondary school that had a lot of Christian people in it.
Yeah.
So like that was always like seen as like the fun church because it was like singing and camp.
Oh,
and
waving flags. Yeah, and all this kind
it was
of
like
stuff.
Always way cooler. I would say.
And that's how they were doing with that. It was like, it's like a rock show,
and
guys.
Well, there is, because it's Christian rock. That's usually an evangelical thing, you know, like, or a Baptist thing from America. It's that Americanized kind of Christianity. And
it's like in my church, it was, you know, very different to what my friends were going to or not going. Most
of them
didn't
sitting
go.
There with, hi, no, it's that's kind of sounds like.
A bit Jewish.
I kind of sounded a bit Hindu, but you know what I mean. Latin
vibes. We're very open to all religions here. But yeah, I think it was like they kind of lure you in with this fun time, and we're not like a regular church, we're a cool church kind of thing. And then when you get into secondary school and you know the little hormones start coming in, that's when they pounce with the weird shit. And I remember that going away.
You must remember like such a shift in energy, kind of.
Because you were like, it was Sunday school and then it was youth group. And youth group was so fucking cool. You know, it was like, we're all teens. We're all on the same level here.
Yeah.
And you were like put into little groups. So you'd have
leader. Like a leader who's like kind of only a little bit older than
you. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's so relatable.
Yeah. And like the guy. And so there'd be like a group of like five girls, all your same age. And you'd be like, you know, you'd meet up in the youth group, but then you'd go off and have your little intimate time with your group and your leader, and she's like, hey bitch,
because she's probably like 18 or so, is it?
Yeah, like, and you trust her because like she's older than you, and she, you know,
older but not too old. Yeah, that's where the Catholic Church goes so wrong, because you're like sat down with a fucking priest and a nun and you're like
yeah, you're like,
no,
you are petrifying.
Yeah, you're petrifying. You're on death's door.
Yeah.
You've never got laid.
You're wearing a robe.
You're wearing literal insane clothes. Like, but I can imagine the Christian thing. It's like this 18-year-old girl, and maybe she's American. And she's like,
oh, yeah.
Hey, guys.
She's like, hey, dudettes, come on. Yeah. You're like,
let's party with Jesus.
So I remember, like, it was just so... Every time, every weekend, and every... So we'd go on Friday... And Sunday, and sometimes midweek, there'd be another thing. So it was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always, in some way, focused about relationships, kissing, sex, boys, husband, purity. Always.
They're
it
like
was
gearing
so,
you up for like marriage, basically. And also trying to not...
They basically knew that like secondary school is when you start... getting down, you know, like that's when like your hormones come in. Like obviously like sixth class or fifth class is when people started kissing. Like most certainly I didn't, but then I got a bit more tempted in like secondary school. So they were like really on you, really manipulating your whole thought process towards dating, and like making your natural feelings of like being aroused or fancying guys or fingering yourself or wanting to kiss dudes or whatever was seen as this massive sin that you couldn't indulge in at all. But it was so like they were taunting you almost by continuously talking about it all the time.
So what was like, and this is just out of pure ignorance from my behalf, what was like their... How do they justify the sinning? Like, what was it that sinning is? It's because it's like you're only meant to do that to your husband.
Yeah, the idea
so you're only
is
supposed
that
to fancy kiss.
You're basically is that what, okay, so, and I only remember this when fucking I buried God knows how much shit, but
God does know.
God knows, he knows everything. But I buried this because a girl that I used to go to church with, I didn't know she followed me, and then I was like, oh my God, that's Leia. And I was like, what do you remember? Because I was like, we're gonna meet up soon, because my sisters, because we were friends in church. And she was like, one thing that I mainly remember about that whole conversation of like saving yourself was that first you have to be down with God. So first you have to have a relationship with God. He was your boyfriend. You were in a relationship with God. Okay. And that was told to us. And it was like, you cannot have a successful relationship unless that is your full, you're consumed by your relationship with God. So that comes
first on the pyramid, basically.
And once you're fully in love with God, down with God, on a great path, great relationship with your, like, then God will tell you or present something, so a man in your life who is perfect for you, that you do not have the ability or cannot even make mistakes. So you don't have the ability to be able to like go out kissing a lad because you're going to choose the wrong guy.
Okay.
So, and it's all about maintaining your purity.
Is it like because God will like guide you towards the right person?
Yeah.
Kind of vibe?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he'll guide your partner.
To bring you together.
Yeah.
So that there's no mistakes.
So hopefully your fucking future husband is also in his little youth group hearing the same shit.
Yes.
And then we'll both be guided together. And, you know, like there were guys and girls going out in the church.
Mm-hmm.
They were allowed to hold hands.
Okay.
They were maybe allowed peck on the, and this was would be like a conversation that the older leaders were saying. I remember like two of my friends were going out and it was like hot top. Everyone was on them, like watching them, like they weren't allowed to sit together. Or no, they were allowed to sit together, but then like before, if we were going on a weekend away, or especially if we were going to Teen Street, which was this German Christian camp that I went to every summer.
I love
summer.
That they call it Teen Street. Like, that sounds so fun.
Oh, that's the thing. And that's what I was lolling with on live. Because like they always call it
a street full of teens?
I know, it's, like, it's our own street and we're teens and we rule this mother. There was another one in Ireland called Urban Soul.
Oh, like, hell yeah, I want to go to that. Not
they kind
like
of make them out to be like festivals. And it is a festival, but it's a festival of God. So there's no fucking...
No fucking. Full stop.
But yeah, so that was the kind of meant. But yeah, if there was two of my friends were going out and it was very innocent, I think they'd held hands and pecked on.
What age
the
are we
lips.
Talking?
We're talking like 16.
Oh, okay.
So not like.
Not like. Young, I okay, yeah.
You know, like a normal fucking age. Yeah, most people are fucking. Most people are God knows what doing. It anal. I know friends in school of mine were having anal. I hadn't kissed a guy with tongues.
Shut up, they're doing anal.
There was one girl who did anal.
There's always one.
Now
girl.
It did go viral in the school, but anyway, how and ever. You know, I was just like, oh my God, I haven't even fucking put my tongue in a guy's mouth, let alone had a dick in my arse. Do you know the way? I was like, so sexually traumatized. And
you heard that was Stella literally sighing through her mom's trauma.
She's always there for me. But yeah, if we were going to Teen Street in summer, they would be like forced to break up.
Oh my God.
They'd have to break up and go to Teen Street separately. And if they didn't break up, they couldn't go.
Well, so what you...
Because it was like, God really needs you to focus on yourself right now.
Oh.
And they'd be... And like your leaders are coming through
it's
with shit
you,
like...
It's not you, it's God.
Yeah, your leaders are telling stuff like, oh, look, it's not me. God's telling me this. God's telling me that you should be just like giving you this all the time in the world. Chill out. Yeah.
So like when they be at camp or Teen Street or whatever, like they wouldn't be able to like be like talking really?
You were very much separated. Like in Teen Street, it was very much girls and guys. Like you slept with all the girls in these big, huge tents. You had a sleeping bag. You were on an airbed in this massive, big tent. Massive tent. There was like, I think there was like 7,000 teens at Teen Street.
What?
From all over the world. There was like Swedish, American, German. The amount of riots. I have never been
I'd
more
say
horny
so.
And you couldn't talk to them. You couldn't.
And didn't you
them.
Say, I remember you telling me a really funny story that like when you went to Teen Street, like there was just so many hot guys and they made you dress in the most minging clothes.
I always get like called out like, oh, why does she dress like that? I feel like I dress the way I do because in Teen Street we were forced to wear skirts that went past our knees. It was so hot.
Like
Germany,
it was like, proper like modesty kind of.
Yeah, you couldn't like, I had to have a boat neck was the most raciest neckline you could wear. You know,
that
a boat
showed
neck.
your bit of your clavicle.
Yeah, but tiny it was still bit. Covered. So like you had to have like, I had big tits from like
the get-go. No,
yeah, basically as soon as like my tits, I think it was 14,
wet ass titty,
wet ass pussy and milk tits. Ew, fucking hell. Anyway, but yeah, so I would be, it was, what was the question?
I was just talking about the time of, when you were like all the clothes that would make you wear and all the hot guys.
Right.
And like, didn't they make you wear t-shirts when you swam or something?
We had to wear togs and sometimes t-shirts. Like you, and the Swedish bitches were allowed bop around in whatever they wanted, little string tops, little shorts, because they didn't go with leaders. They just bought tickets and came. So these Swedish tall blonde beauties would be prancing around like, I know. And we, the Irish girls, you couldn't even get a tan because you were so covered.
So who was this run by?
A married couple from America.
Mm-hmm.
Second A Potter.
So is it like a couple of churches around the world?
It was my church. My youth leaders were on stage every night.
Okay.
They
were the head bitch in charge. Yeah,
they were two married couples, basically.
Okay.
Were hosting this. So every night they would like be preaching. They had microphones. There was like worship for hours. People would be like writhing around, like the demons coming out of them, like their hands are all up.
You said like full on talking tongues vibe, right?
Yeah, and then there'd always be that girl who's pretending to talk in tongues. Like that girl who's pretending that she's a Christian and she'd be like on the microphone.
Spoiler alert, I think they're all pretending.
Now, sometimes I have seen a person and I think they're really talking in tongues.
I'm sure you could get yourself to that hysterical point where you probably are like doing it.
Well, like in the church, if someone was talking in tongues and then I'd be looking at my mom and I'm like, do you understand that? Because apparently if you're a Christian, you naturally understand tongues. And my mom would be like, yes, I do.
The funny thing about Christianity is like their fear of like the occult, but also how occultish their fucking shit is. Like they're saying if you were in touch with God enough, you're going to understand some person writhing around like a serpent on the floor being like,
like, I know.
Guys.
And it happened every Sunday. Every Sunday there'd be someone grabbing that microphone. And like you bring your friend from school. Because you'd be going, like my church was in town, so we'd like go shopping afterwards or something. Yeah. My mum would be like, we can go to church and then you can go off for a couple hours shopping. And I'd be like, oh my God.
Get a bit of Jesus into you first.
Yeah. And I'd be bringing my friend and she'd be looking at me like, what the fuck? And I'm like, I know, it's a bit weird. Sorry about that. And then we go back into fucking school on Monday and she'd be like, Lindsay brought me to her weird church. She was waving a flag. And I'm like, no, fun.
And you said Sarah would always put her hand up praising.
Oh yeah, me and Fiona would never raise our damn hand. And we'd like, sometimes I'd be like, should I?
Would it be like during like a song kind of
vibe? It's when you fully are like engulfed in the worship and you're just like raising your hands praising and you're like just like giving all to God. Yeah. When you raise your hands during worship songs, it's kind of like you're giving yourself to God.
Sure,
so like raising up your hands, it's like, take me, I live for you, I follow your path.
And would this be during one of your Christian songs?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Lord, take me.
I will worship you. And then I say it on live because some of the songs were real like, you know, I would always think of a guy.
Yeah.
Because the songs were like.
Like love songs.
I lay down for you, Lord Jesus. But I'd be like not saying Jesus and saying the guy I fancy. Like for you, Owen. Owen. Getting wet. Being like, I'm lying down. Yeah.
But he's Jesus, so it's okay.
It's fine.
And then probably feeling extremely shame because you're singing a Jesus song, getting horny.
I know. It was a constant like circle of toxic shame.
When they say, again, extremely ignorant question, but humor me, and I'm sure some people might be asking the same question. When they say God, because in Catholic, they're like, God is different to Jesus. Is it the same in Christianity? Or do they just kind of mean like the whole...
Well, say St. Patrick.
Yes.
And the shamrock.
Yes.
There's three little things, right?
Yeah.
So God, the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
They're three things. They're three. They're all the same thing, though.
Yeah, but like it's like an umbrella term.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. I get you.
Yeah. It's not like Jesus is telling me this and God is telling me something else.
Yeah, but because God speaks through Jesus, I'm presuming.
Yeah, like
saying.
God is like the ruler of all. Jesus is obviously who came down and saw us all.
Yes.
Back in the day. And then the Holy Spirit is kind of like when you're in the meditative worship state, that's how he talks to you. But it's all the same, dude.
Yeah. Okay. I feel you.
Even though one is a father and son.
I'm praising right now, guys. You can't see me, but.
She's praising right now. But I want to play this.
Oh, yes. Play the. This is exactly this. So this, going back to the start of our episode, girlies, this voice note and this story that this girl told Lindsay on her live is what inspired this whole episode. Because, you know, to really preface it to you guys, we know that, like, growing up in a conservative country, no matter the conservative element of it, whether it's, like, politically or if it's cultural or religious, can have, like, really negative effects on people. And as we said, we obviously see that the shackles are still in the country in certain ways, but we also want to have a laugh about it, because we do feel that, like, there is healing in humor. And while you can, you know, you can do two things at the same time. You can both acknowledge the, like,
insanity
and the harm and the more serious elements, while also being able to have a lol at some of the funnier
just
things.
Just how ludicrous it was.
Exactly.
Like, looking back, I'm like, I can't believe I was in that position. Yeah. I can't believe I was,
that's
like,
why I laughed through your story.
13-year-old and some alpha was, like, up on stage with a fucking Britney Spears microphone saying, and you're all masturbating and smoking and drinking and God is watching you while you're doing those things. You'd be like,
that's why, like, it's, you know, what's it called? A comedic break. You know, sometimes something is so ridiculous that you literally have to piss yourself, because it's like, it's the same emotion. You know, it's like, it's on the same.
And I prefer,
like,
laughing than crying. Don't we all?
Yeah. Well, you know, you can do both. So.
Yeah, but.
Cry, the laughter is the healer. So let's listen to this girl's story.
Hey girls, my name's Ava and I was on Lindsay's live the other night talking about my experience in a Christian conservative household growing up. And through talking about this, we kind of came up with a few different stories that we both had. And one of mine that really stood out was one time I was in a youth church service on a Sunday morning. And I was about 15, I'd say, at the time. And the topic for the service was sex. So the girl who I was in the youth service with decided to come up with these analogies for different topics around sex, and the one that she was talking about was purity and virginity as a concept. And to illustrate this, she had brought an apple along with her, which she said represented virginity and purity. And she described it as every time we did something that was anything that wasn't kissing, basically, to full-on sex before marriage was like a bruise or a cut on the apple. And every time she would describe this, she would bash it off the side of the table so that the apple gradually got more and more bruised and cut. And we just all kind of sat there while she did this. And then at the end, she said, you're left with this bruised and cut apple that you're supposed to then give to your future husband or wife that you're with forever. And do you think that they would like to accept that as your purity or your virginity when they marry you? And we all just kind of sat there, teenagers, like, completely confused and slightly horrified. But it was very funny now to look back on, but very alarming at the time. So thanks so much for listening.
Thank you so much for sharing that story.
Yeah,
Ava, amazing. Like, I mean, when she told me that, I was howling.
I mean, when you told me that, I was messaging her on the It Girls profile last night. I was like, because you hadn't sent me the voice note yet, or I hadn't listened. And I was like, I'm dying to hear you tell the story. Because, like, when Lindsay retold the story very briefly to me, I was pissing myself laughing.
It was just like, and when I put out the thing yesterday, like, people tell, like, the little question box of asking people to tell me about certain stories that they had growing up, two other girls wrote about that apple story. So that thing is clearly fucking going around. And then me and Ava were talking last night, and she was saying, it both clicked in her head. I was like, oh my God, the apple is the apple, the snake, the fucking reason sin is everything. So all those things are like little blocks to kind of penetrate deeper into your psyche to be like, bad sex, you know?
Yeah. And like, but you can see how that is so effective. Like, when you were telling me that story, I was like, oh my God, if I was shown that at a very easily influenced age of like 15, whatever age you are, if she presented me that crumpled, because like, apples look minging when they're bruised.
Oh my God, I know.
If I have an apple on my fruit thing and I pick it up and there's a brown,
oh, they're
like,
thick.
I'm like,
and you're thinking my vagina?
I mean, like, no, not even my vagina, like, my essence of my worth as a human. That's what I am on the inside. And it's like, it's actually so funny when it's like rotten to its core, another apple analogy, like all of these, like, you know,
totally,
like a bad apple, rotten apple, like they're all these words and that they all
always
go back to.
They always left it so vague, like they weren't ever like fully disclosing, like they'd say sex, but they wouldn't say like, I think they'd maybe say wanking, but they wouldn't say like blowjobs.
They probably didn't
or
say wank. Did they say?
They said masturbation.
Yeah.
Yes, they said sex and masturbation, but yeah, they wouldn't go into like oral sex, or fucking yeah, like fingering each other, or can I 69? Excuse me. Yeah. Excuse me, sir.
Where do we go on rimming?
Yeah, is licking ass okay? Just wondering.
Can we eat ass?
What about my wet ass pussy getting licked? Is that okay?
Got a bucket and a mop? Gushy.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Like, and then I remember I was in a school, what do you call it when you go away to like the zoo with
school
class
trip.
Yeah, school trip. And we were all in the back of the bus and someone started to play like "Are You Frigid?" and they touch your knee.
Oh, are you scared yet?
Yeah,
that one.
It's like it's scared yet, and they'd be like putting their hand going further and further up the leg, and I was like, "Is this allowed, or is my apple getting bashed?"
Yeah, because technically there's no bashing.
Yeah, but it's more than kissing. And kissing, we weren't allowed French kiss. You were just allowed like if you had a boyfriend.
Only if you had a boyfriend.
But that was only if he was a Christian boyfriend. If he was not a Christian boyfriend, no, you can't go near.
Yeah.
I remember, which I spoke on live as well, which was similar, my kind of one that sticks in my head was when you get to a certain age, you're no longer in the youth group, you actually have to be in church full blown, sitting down for an hour and a half sermon. Okay. It is so mind-numbingly boring, I can't even cope.
So when you're in youth, when you're younger, are you like, while your parents are in church, you're in like kiddie church?
Yeah, okay. You're in youth group, so yes, it's its own room. Okay. Like it was in, do you know 12C? It's on Abbey Street. It's now a Wetherspoons. That's yes, where my church was.
Okay, wow. Now you're praising at that altar, a whole different altar, honey.
And it's my altar.
Now,
honey,
I have seen Lindsay praise when the pint of Bulmers is there.
Yeah, like woohoo! I found you, baby.
Take me low.
Yeah, literally. And it's so fucking trippy. I have drank in there only once, but I need to have a night out in Wetherspoons because it's like the same building that I used.
Crazy.
I saw my dad baptize people. They had a fucking baptism place in that actual church. They pull open the stage and there was a water in there. Now and you get baptized in my church when you choose. I was like, nah. And these people have to like go up on stage and they talk about like all the worst things they've done. And then the like elders in the church like dunk them into the water and they're cleansed of their sins.
Yes.
But you have to disclose to the whole church shit you've done.
Yeah.
Oh. Like, I slept with men, I did a drug.
Oh my God.
I know. I loved that one. I
Christians,
was like, this is fun.
Did they believe in the Catholic thing of that like babies are born sinners?
No.
Yes,
they don't believe in that. So that's why I was not christened.
Yes.
We believe that like we're born pure.
Yes.
God creates us pure and that like society and our own actions.
Yes.
Focus up.
Yeah.
Unless we, of course, just abide by Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Know? Walk the right path down his.
Exactly.
And praise him.
Yes.
With a capital H.
Yeah, and do everything he says. And that's only if you have a good relationship with him that you can hear him.
Oh, because then that's the only way you can hear him.
Because you think you're praying to God, but sometimes Satan comes in and is like, go and suck his dick. You know? And you're like, oh, thank you, God. You're so much more woke than I thought. But
should we start going through some of the little answers we got?
Yeah, I'll tell you the one. So yeah, when she brought up that, I remembered one that I'd brought a girl from my secondary school. I think we're in sixth year, so that was when you were kind of like out of youth group,
oh,
and
yes,
you were straight in the church. And I brought someone from my school, And she was like brought up Catholic and she never really went to church, so she wasn't like versed in the insanity of my church. So she came in, I tried to warn her, I was like, this is a bit weird.
Just chill.
It's a fucking hour. Whatever. There's hot guys. And a woman was speaking, and that didn't happen a lot. And it was my friend's mum, and she like went up to the stage. They always had the little mic. The mic was like, I mean, there's not that many people that you need a mic.
Both hands to praise, Lindsay.
True.
Excuse you.
True. And she dragged up her wedding dress, her own wedding dress that she was still married to the man, and she hung it up on the stage, and it was like white, obviously. And she was going on about how we're born pure and God loves, you know, he wants us to be these pure whole beings, and this is what he has this longing for us to live this beautiful pure life. But then, and she had like a big bucket, and she started to dunk her hand in the bucket, and it was mud, and she started fucking mud all over her wedding dress. So the wedding dress was ruined. It was all covered in mud, and she was like getting so aggressive. She was like, "Oh, we fuck it up, and we ruin ourselves, and we just throw everything like all this rotten." And we were like, my friend's mouth was on the floor, and she just slowly turned to me and was like, "What the fuck?" And I was like,
"Oh my,
it's not usually this weird. It's." Like, oh my God. But because I was so used to that, seeing that through the eyes of someone else, I was like, oh my God. And she was like crying, the woman who was throwing the mud, crying. And everyone was like, well done. And I was like, oh my God, the one time I bring my friend.
Oh my. Like, but like, it's the same as the apple. It's the same analogy.
It is, yeah. We're pure and we fuck it up.
But it's the visual that is so impressionable on people,
especially like,
and that's why
towards women, yeah. Like, you know,
that's why the Christians are so much smarter than the Catholics, because like they can see how it's going to like be seared in your mind, because that's how memory works. If you have like, you're going to remember something, and it's going to be imprinted on you if you have a visual to go along with it, and like a story.
And when you think of things like, you know, the apple, we would have seen the apple in Snow White.
Uh-huh.
And same with like the wedding dress. The wedding dress, like, I was not really I was never that interested in like getting married and stuff, you know, the big white wedding. But it is something that is imprinted in a child's, especially a little girl's head, like the wedding, the pure, I want to wear white, blah, blah, blah. So throwing muck at that whole visual and that whole like idea.
It's extremely shocking.
Yeah.
Because also there's this whole thing in society of like, your wedding dress being this like precious thing that you keep in your wardrobe, and you'd never want it to be dirt. And then like, if someone's bringing it in, being like, this is what the world does to our purity, and throwing muck on it.
Even that, like, you are only really allowed to wear a white wedding dress if you are a virgin. So all those things are like, you know, packed into this one little skit, if you want to call it. And it's just, it was a lot. And
there's some performative queens in,
I mean,
in that church.
So wild. So let's go.
We reached out on Instagram just to ask for anyone else's experiences, funny stories, crazy stories, whatever the fuck they wanted. If they grew up in a religious or conservative household, because we know it's not all just Christian or Catholic, or whatever. So we're going to read out some. We'll respond. I'll start off. This one killed me. My religious aunt was babysitting me and baptized me in the kitchen sink.
Like, how can that even work?
How non-consensual is that?
Freaky. Did she tell the parents, I wonder?
I wonder, like, because it's like, do you just come home and unbeknownst, you've got a child of God walking around your house?
Do you know that the Catholic Church did bring in, for a while, they took it out that you could divorce yourself in the Catholic Church. I think around the time of when all of that. The crazy shit came out.
I think
about
my
mom Catholic Church.
Was going to do that.
Then they
point.
Took it away because there was too many people.
Yeah.
And it
everyone was like, get me the fuck away from here.
Because you're, when you, I don't think when you're christened, but if you make your confirmation, you are technically married. Like, it's on, you know, on the census, even, that you were fucking like a Catholic. Because
I don't
were,
think it's on the census anymore.
Well, not anymore, but I think it was for a while. Like,
I think
you,
it definitely was.
Like, if you, I mean, they're going to be taking accountability to every child who was going to make their confirmation. Mm-hmm. So it is in certain, like a bank in Ireland of like being able to see how many people are getting.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm totally against, and I know that this is another topic, but like, I personally am totally against christening your child or doing confirmation just for the look of it. Just if you don't hold those beliefs of the church and you kind of just do it for like society pressures of like, oh, everyone gets christened or just for the day in it.
I think that's really confusing for a lot of Irish parents, and it's a chicken and the egg situation, is that if you live in, say, a rural area where there's only Catholic schools and they'll only take christened children in, you can be
completely.
And that's not, I mean, it's also like, I understand that some people do that anyway and some people look down on that anyway, but it's also like, if you're between a rock and a hard place, like, what are you going to do? Not send your kid to school, you know? And that's where that should all be completely removed, obviously.
100%, yeah.
So what's the next one?
My mum used to steal any of my sexy or small knickers off the washing line and shook them out without telling me. You're forced to be minging. Like, no, only the period knickers are you allowed. You know your period pants that you wear when you're like feeling all blowed.
Sloggies.
Like. Yeah,
sloggy vibes. Oh my God. Like, but I remember, do you remember being, well, I remember being a teenager and like starting to wear like sexier underwear and being so scarlet seeing it on the washing line, just being like, oh. Or did you ever like, see on the washing line your like mom had like a pair of sexy knickers or something and it was like, I remember my mom had a leopard bra, true it girl, and I was like, what?
Oh, my mom never did. My mom is sloggies all the way.
Sloggy,
I think
that
it's against
gown.
Her religion to wear a thong.
Here's another one. Oh, my mother slapped me on the face for finding a morning after pill packet and said I had to repent.
Oh, and this is a friend of the pod, we're not going to say her name just in case, but like, so sad, some of these things, like, hilarious and wild, but it is like,
and
mad.
It's so sad to me as well, like, even thinking that the mum, like, because like that, you know, you have to see that mum is also brainwashed to an extent, you know,
yeah,
that it's
completely.
Like, and that's so sad for her that like she's brought to the point of like telling her daughter or smacking her daughter because she thinks that that is so horrendous. And like, how, imagine all the like experiences that she had growing up and like how that has impacted and like penetrated into her brain. Oh my God.
100%.
The layers of sex shame.
Okay, I'm going to read one that actually made me, this is the one that tipped me over the edge yesterday. I'm trying to find it. I think I sent it to you. Hold on one sec. Yeah, this one kind of tipped me over the edge because I was like, this is, it just really reminded me of my upbringing because, and I think a lot of Irish women, when they started to become age where they were like thinking that they might have sex or they were having sex and they wanted to protect themselves, so they went to the pill. It was really, really difficult to obtain. First of all, you had to go to your GP, you know, which was like your family GP a lot of the time. And I remember like my sister's going on the pill and my GP told my parents.
Which is illegal.
Illegal. And it was like he knew that. And there's like, I got a lot of messages of women being like, my mum told like all my local doctors not to put me on the pill and stuff like that. Like, the pill was so hard to get for Christian women. Like, I used to wish I had, I did for a little while have like bad skin and I was like, please, can I go on the pill? Can I go on the pill? And she's like, no, you can go on this. And it would be like some acid thing for my face. But like, people, I knew a girl who put hairspray on her face to try and get acne so she could go on the pill. Like, this, you could not get the pill. There was no way to obtain it for a lot of women because you're living at home. You didn't have 50 fucking euro as a 16-year-old to go to get the pill regularly, you know?
Shout out to my mum.
Yes.
Put me on the pill at 16, you woke ass bitch.
That's amazing. Like, so,
and, you
so
know,
amazing.
And she did that. Now, it's only really as an adult that I see like the wokeness of that, because I'm like, at the time I was scarlet, you know, that way, because like she was like, no, you're kind of seeing your boyfriend for a while. Would you like to go on the pill just in case? And I was like, she gave me the opportunity not to be embarrassed, just be like, yes, just in case.
And not having to like disclose whether you were or weren't doing whatever.
She was just like, just in case, and just so it's in your own control.
Just giving you your privacy.
Yeah.
And I have never had that, even up to this day. Anytime I go on a date, my mom's like, oh, okay, just don't bring him home. And then the next day she's like, so how'd you get on? And I'm like, fine. And then she's like, well, did you bring him home? I'm like, no. She's like, good, because you wouldn't be hearing from him again. I'm like, oh. So this girl wrote to me and she said that when she was 17, her parents were really strict on their just disagreements with the contraception. She has 9 siblings, so clearly wasn't on anything, your meme. So when I asked my mum for 50 euro for the doctor, she asked to look at the prescription and saw that it was for the pill. She obviously knew I'd take it out of the bin, so she ate it in front of me, ate all the pills, and told me how dangerous contraception is and that I shouldn't be having sex anyway. I actually hadn't even had it yet. Anyway, safe to say, she, fair play to this woman, she somehow went back to the doctor and got it again. But like, that is so scary. That just threw me over the edge because I was like, what the fuck?
Well, yeah, Memmy, like, if you take a month's worth of the pill in one go, that ain't good.
No.
But like, what a conflicting message as well to send your kid. Like
I'm consuming like, this in front of you, yeah, and it's really bad. It's so you've put so me in danger. So yeah, if you're even considering doing this, I'm gonna. It's almost violent.
Well, it's like emotional blackmail, because it's like, I mean, it's like, you know, someone being like, I'm going to take all these pills, like right in front of you. And you're like, oh, they were my pills. It's my fault. You know, that way you just feel so.
Yeah. And because she was freaked, saying, I know, you take it out of the bin. So I had, there's only one thing I can do about it.
Didn't even flush them down the toilet. Like,
I know. I'm like, was this mama low-key not wanting a 10th kid? Or an 11th child? So she was like, blah,
blah, blah. She heard about the trick where you take a load of the pill for the morning after pill. She's like, daddy nutted in me last night.
But that freaked me out.
Another contraception one was, a few years ago, I had my boyfriend over and I left a used condom on my windowsill and left for school the next day, totally forgetting about it. It was fine when I came home, but they didn't speak to me for weeks and said I wouldn't be getting any Xmas presents. Fair, I guess.
Aww.
I know that. No Christmas presents for you, you slut.
Because you're not an innocent being anymore.
Oh my God. This one also killed me. Just for lulz, she said, it's not a story from growing up, but my very religious grandmother said it was okay for us to break the new restrictions for my cousin's confo last weekend because it was a holy day, and God would look after us. We all knew she was just thirsty for the sesh.
Oh my goodness. My grand aunt called me a slut and that I was asking for it because I straightened my hair. What in God's name? I remember that, like, the first time I straightened my hair, you did feel like, oh, who are you trying to impress?
Yeah, like, well, yeah. I hated it. I remember the first time I wore like a bit of makeup, and I think it was like, we never went to mass or anything like that, but we would, the odd time I would love to go on Christmas Eve because they did the nativity play. I was just like, I like this shit, and it made me feel Christmassy because it was like, it is, Jesus vibe, you know. And I remember we went once, and like before I left, like I think my mom had given me this like little compact of number 7 eyeshadows that she didn't want to be got, you know, like number 7 you get gifts. I remember just putting my finger and just putting it across my lids, this gold eyeshadow. And I remember coming down being like, hello, how are we all?
Anything to say, yeah, anyone?
Very normal day today, apart from being Christmas Eve. And I remember my mom being like, or I think it was my dad, was like, are you wearing makeup? And I was like, Oh my gosh. Fucking so embarrassed. I felt like I was wearing a full set of Anne Summers, like fucking edible underwear.
Got a problem with this, daddy?
Yeah, I'm wearing this church. Jesus likes it, okay? Tell me. I have a good relationship with him, so it's.
Yeah,
it's
so I know.
Will we go through the DMs that you put in here?
So I was around 14-ish, going to a teen disco. It might have only been my first or second time properly drinking. So I came home anyway. Stella, you loud bitch. Anyway, the next day, because I stayed at my friend's that night, and my mom was like, empty your bag there. I'm putting on a wash if you need anything done. So there I go, opening my overnight bag. And as soon as I pull out a sock, you can hear two glasses clink together. I nearly died as it was two Naggin bottles of Glen's vodka. Shout out Glen's vodka.
Oh, that is a throwback.
She full on called the guards on me, asked me who else I was drinking with, who bought it for me, how I snuck it in, etc. So she literally informed the guards, and then she got a number for one of the bouncers that worked on the door of the club, told him how I snuck the vodka in my bra using those crinkly water bottles from Lidl. Honestly, I never drink vodka. I've never drank vodka around her since. I'm 22. It just makes me too uncomfortable. My mum had a thing against spirits, and I honestly think it's because they're the called spirits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, she always was like, no spirits. Even now, no spirits.
Do you know why it's She's called, not wrong. Do you know why it's called a spirit?
No.
So, I learned this on a whiskey distillery tour. And it's, they would, in a spirit, so when you're making like a thing of whiskey, a certain amount of the water evaporates off it, and that's called the angel's share. Like, the angel comes in and takes its share, but it's also called a spirit because it's like a spirit within it.
Oh,
because it's like part of the Beautiful. Water evaporates out, and it's called the angel's share, which I think is such a stunning term.
The angels maybe are coming down to collect it from God because he loves to drink water into wine, honey. Let's not forget.
So the next one, I went to a Catholic school that was on the same site as a convent, so the nuns were always in and out. One day around Valentine's Day when I was 12 and in a home ec class, our teacher was out sick, so none of the nuns was left to supervise us. She came in all sweet, smiling, and asked us if any of us had a boyfriend. A few girls raised their hand, giggling pretty nervously because that was a weird question to ask a group of first years, she proceeded to start screaming at them that they were way too young and they shouldn't have be having sex. She then points to a wedding band on her finger and tells us she's married to Jesus and we should be too. Just as a follow on to that, the same nun left the school around a year later, and rumour is that she was asked to leave because she started throwing stuff at a student from another school when they came to visit us. Okay. What? I'm so glad I didn't go to a fucking convent school. Oh, same. My God.
I've never really been around nuns or priests, and I'm so glad. Like, I had one of my great aunts is a nun, but like she is a nun in America, so I never really saw her.
Okay.
But yeah, I've never really been around them, and they're dying out. Like we were just saying that before we started recording. Like, you don't be seeing nuns around that much, and when
no one's joining nuns anymore. Like, there's definitely still people joining the priesthood, very small amount, but there is still people. But there's very, I mean, because like, how boring to be a nun. You don't even get to give mass. At least with a priest, you get to stand up and perform.
It's so wild as well that like in the Catholic Church, the heads, like the Pope, the nuns, the priests, all don't have sex. They're the people who are also giving like marriage courses.
Yeah.
They've never been in a relationship. Yeah. Oh yeah. So they know.
So they know the best relationship ever.
But and it's such a weird arc for the church to be kind of like under, because it's like he is so pure that he's not having sex. So therefore, even if you are in a relationship, like, I mean, the Catholic Church didn't let contraception. So sex is not only, sex is not really allowed to be enjoyed in religion.
No, well, it's in Catholic Church, it's 100% just for reproduction.
Which is
like, it's, and that's why there's no contraception. Because it's like, they think it's a sin if you have sex and stop God's will for getting pregnant.
100%, yeah.
Because it's like stopping God's will.
And that's why I was like, I've never had a conversation about contraception with my parents.
Yeah.
And I have two kids from two different dads.
My mum and dad, my mum told me that she would have to, in order to get like a condom, so I guess ride my dad. Peace out to that moment. They would have to go into Trinity College during the 80s. That was the only place you could get a condom. And they'd have to go into like, pretend you went there, I think, because it was a Protestant and an English college, I guess. They'd have to go in there, get like a single condom.
Oh my gosh. And probably use it three times. Wash it out. If I was staying at a friend's house for a sleepover of a Saturday night, 10 to 15 year old, my mum warned me that I had to go to mass the next morning. So when I got home Sunday afternoon or evening, mum would quiz me about the mass. She'd ask me questions like, which priest said mass? Or what was the gospel about? I obviously never went because I hated it, but would used to make it up all the time. And I would get away with it because there was about five masses on Sundays. One time she found out I didn't go and the consequences were so traumatic. So traumatic that she didn't even tell us. So I'm freaked.
Oh my
God. Me and my
God.
Sisters used to do that because our church was in town. Sometimes we'd sneak off and just like sit in a spa anywhere other than church.
So would your mum not see that you...
Sometimes my parents wouldn't go, but they'd still enforce us to go. Like if they were... Sometimes they'd like to go down to the country to check out another church or something, and they'd be like, make sure you still go to church. And we'd be like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And I remember once we went to church and they'd known that there was a wedding on the Saturday. So we'd gone to church, but not actually gone to church. And you know, like she'd be asking us like, okay, get this bus, you know, and calling us up, making sure, I can't hear the bus. I can't hear that you're on the bus. You know, she was so on it. So she was like, so was there anything like from the wedding still left? We're like, oh yeah. The remnants of some flowers were dotted along, just making up shit. She was like, who was speaking? We'd be like, Paul was speaking, yeah. She's like, what was he saying? We'd be like, even if I had sat down, I couldn't like this. I was like, thinking, I was just sat in church being like, doo, 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 thinking of anything else. The last time I went to church, because I, like, there were so many characters in church, and I actually, like, so many friends, and such a, like, reminiscence of, like, my childhood and just people that I grew
it's like
up
family,
with.
Family, friends, you know?
Yeah.
It's a community.
And my parents had, like, a falling out with that church. So we, the church that
I love that they have church drama.
Oh, there's so much church drama. And, like, we don't know what's going on.
I know, you said your parents never fully
tell you. Shut up asking. We're like, okay.
Now I really want to know.
I know. They're like, by the way, we hate so and so. And I'm like, well, not hate. They don't hate anyone, but by the way.
We don't talk to them anymore.
Yeah, I'm like, what? They were basically like my auntie, you know, like people I would have grown up with from when I was a kid who I would have seen all the time.
Is Bono evangelical?
I'm not sure. I think he's kind of something, but like maybe not as like intense as my parents. But I remember I kind of missed my church and I just was like, oh, I might go in and like have a little check out. and stuff like that. So I went in years ago when I had my dreads, and my friend's dad came up to me and was like, "Lindsay, I'm so glad to see you. I'm so glad you're here. Love that you came to church. But maybe don't dress like a night worker." And I was like, "Oh, how do you mean?" I was wearing like a leopard print dress.
I remember when you went back to church then.
I was wearing like a little leopard print dress and like a pink ballet kind of wrap top and my docks, and like I had these dreads, and Rilo was with me, and he was like, "You just come. You look like a lady of the night." And I just wouldn't want you to be tempting the other men who were there just trying to worship. And I was like, why is that on me if they're getting tempted?
Yeah.
I mean, well, I have to cloak myself in some kind of...
Just in case.
Just in case my fine-ass body... like, what? It was so uncomfortable. This dude was like the same age as my dad. That talking about...
So uncomfortable.
My clothing. And my kid was also there. And I just felt...
Have you ever been to Catholic mass?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but...
So fucking boring. Oh my, oh my God. Goodness, I remember so just boring. This reminds me of it. I remember like... For a while, I remember my dad was always like, remember we started going to mass for a while? We did randomly. One point in my life, we were going to mass on a Sunday.
Catholic or?
Catholic. So boring.
Protestant is a slight bit more enjoyable.
Yeah, but I've always felt a bit dumb at a Protestant mass. We went to a Protestant one a few times as well. There was a Church of Ireland church down the road.
Mm.
And I just always felt really dumb because they sing hymns and we don't sing hymns in Catholic mass. So like they'd be singing these hymns and I'd be like, ah, la, not knowing the fucking
tune.
I
always felt like that with Catholic mass because there's all these like, it's like, like all these sayings that I never knew. I don't know the like,
it's more like a ritual kind of thing. Yeah. It's like stand up, kneel down, blah blah.
Yeah, and I'd be up and down,
peace be
up and down.
You, also with you, then you do the handshaking thing. And I hated the handshaking thing. I wonder how COVID, how they're doing that during COVID.
I think they're obviously like really abiding by the rules, because that's another part of Christianity where you do have to like abide by the laws of the land.
I wonder how they do the peace be with you, also with you handshake. Let us know, Christian queens, Catholic queens. I remember we'd go, and I remember like there would always be one mass that was half an hour, but then some masses were an hour. Like there was one mass that was like unfucking real. Me and Louis were like dab 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 central, because like it would, I think it was like a half 11 mass on a Sunday would be so quick, you'd be like, oh my god, I'm out by 12. But then sometimes my dad, like the odd time me and Louis would stay with my nana, and my nana was really really religious, really Catholic. She was born like 1916, just so Catholic. Well, so Catholic, but then towards the end of her life she was like, I think it's all fake. She was gas.
Oh my goodness, my nana did the same thing. When she was like, on her deathbed, my mom was like, can we please pray? My nan was like, I've prayed enough. I'm done. I don't care where I go.
My nan, but she was super religious. Like she like made my mom and dad get married. They didn't want to get married in a church. She like basically was like, that's grand. I just won't be talking to you ever again. And they were like, oh, okay. And then also my mom and dad, like, because I was baptized when I was like 4, I think, which is really rare in Catholic Ireland. You're always like baptized when you're like a baby. And because my mom and dad didn't really want to baptize me and Louis.
They obviously did it for school then.
No, I did. Went to a multinational school. We went.
Really?
My granny forced them.
Oh, yeah.
She said she'd disown my dad if, because like I wasn't baptized and they were kind of getting away with it for a while. And then they had Louis and she's like, well, when are you going to get the sin out of them?
So
and then like my mom and dad were like, fucking fine. So they brought us to the church that they got married in against their will and got us christened, because like, I mean, for school, no, we didn't go to a religious school ever, which is mad.
That is mad. Let me go through some ones that I got on Instagram in the little question box thing. My dad would drive past my friend's house after dropping me off for a half hour. Just that like complete mistrust
what
you're doing. So he'd still be driving around watching you. My mum and dad were thankfully extremely gullible.
Oh yeah, that's annoying that your parents are like that.
And they still are. Like,
maybe they're willfully gullible though. I think there might be
I'm hoping so.
Like, you literally have two children outside of wedlock.
Two children, two different dads, and I'm dating. And the last date I went on, basically my mum fucking knocked up at the gaff because she wanted to get something. Now I know that she was checking up on me, like, which is, she hasn't done that in so long, but some family dramas went down and I think she's just a bit more on me than she usually is. So then I kind of was like all flustered. I was like, blah, blah, blah. And I was with her later on the day and she was like, so did he end up staying? And I was like, yeah, we didn't do anything. It's just,
which immediately makes it sound like you were writing all night.
I mean, it just like came out. I was like, like there was other people around. She's like, so I was just like, and I was saying it for her because mm-hmm. I've tried. I was honest with her before, and I mean, seeing the look on her face, I can't do that to my mom. Like, I remember years ago.
Did you tell her that you rode someone?
Yeah, years ago. Like, it was after I broke up with my husband, and I started seeing this guy who was like in the church, but like a total
the same
fucking,
way you were. Yeah, in the church.
Yeah. Like, I was like, he's in the church. The mom, she was like, he does hash, and I'm like, oh. But anyway, so. I was really upset when we split, and my mum was like, why is he upset? It's not like you slept with him. And I just kind of looked at her, and she's like, her face just dropped. It was like I was having sex in front of her. I could see her, like the cards in her brain being like, penis, dick, my daughter's vagina. Like, I was like, so I was like, I can't do that again.
Oh my God.
And that was me trying to be honest. But yeah, I was kind of like, yeah, he stayed, but like nothing happened because she'd asked me not to.
Yeah.
And I'm also like, please fucking keep babysitting so I can keep doing what I want on the weekend. And then she goes, oh, did he stay in the kids' room? I was like, yeah, yeah. Like, what? Did you see that one? Oh my goodness. This mum, this girl wrote to me and she said that her mum, anytime she has a hotel booked away with her boyfriend, her mum rings up beforehand to make sure that there's two single beds. And the girl writes back to me and says, we do it. We sleep, like, we don't bother changing for a double room. So my mom thinks we're not having sex. God's happy. I'm having sex. We're all happy. Grand.
They're just like riding in one single bed and then sleeping
I'd
separately.
I'd say they maybe squash them together or something like that. Yeah. But like, just ridiculous.
This one. My mom threw our Hangover DVD in the bin because it was too explicit.
Oh my goodness. I couldn't have anything cool. And one woman wrote and said that one woman. Wrote and said that she had a Marilyn Manson Kerrang issue and her mum fucked it in the fire. They always do it so dramatically, like in the fire.
Yeah, like burned.
Or another girl wrote
away.
And said that like she found an Eminem CD and she flung it out the window of the car.
Oh my God.
Like it was always so dramatic. Like my Offspring CD, she hid it in her wardrobe and I found it. So I listened to it again because it was like, give it to me, baby. She was like, that's sexual. They're talking about sex and giving it.
It's very sexual.
It is.
I mean, YOLO. I mean, that's the world we live in, honey. Let me see if I have any other ones here.
I loved this one. Broke up with my fella. And my mom goes, so I assume you're going off the pill now.
This one. Thinking that coronavirus is a sign of the rapture.
Oh. I mean, didn't we all, did that not all cross our minds?
No. That's some Christian ass shit.
Okay.
I don't think
back
in, rapture.
Back in my weird box I go. Oh, so many of the pill, like told my mom I was on the pill and she burst into tears and told me that I was a disappointment. Like so many pill shit coming through. The pill was like,
yeah,
you'd probably get away with doing E more so than having a packet of pills. Like, yeah. I remember I was on the pill for a little while after having Rilo. So I was married at this point. And I didn't want another baby. Mm-hmm. I hated my husband. Mm-hmm. And I had the pill and I'm really bad at remembering like taking pills and stuff. So I'd have an alarm on my phone and my mum cottoned on that it was my pill alarm. Because like I'd scoot up or like if I was around my mum when the alarm went off and she was like clocked it. And she's still like if she sees that my sisters are now both not on it because it was just too difficult. You'd always leave it in a bag where she'd find it and she'd be like, there's your pill. You know, like saying it with such like venom almost,
God.
As in like, there's your slut
tablet.
Pill.
There's your slut tablet.
Like one girl wrote to me and said that she had her pill lying around and her mum gave out hell to her being like, how dare you have that slut contraception around my daughter? She, like her younger sister was like, seeing this pill around. It's like the pill is so frowned upon.
Which is weird as well because like, I mean, I understand like, they don't obviously full stop want you having sex before marriage, but it's also like, okay, but if I'm having sex, do you want a baby? Because at least I'm stopping the baby happening. You know, the way when I don't want one and
that's
I'm not ready.
That's what was so confusing for me because like they don't give you any other options. The only option I was given
was chastity.
To wait.
Was chastity, yeah. Is that what? Abstaining.
It was like, yeah, abstaining until God presents your husband. And like a lot of people in my church would have got married at age 19. I got married at just gone 21.
That's insane.
Like I got married in April. I was 21 in March.
That's
so
crazy.
Like a lot of people were getting married around that time. So it was like, people are like, you got married at 21, but like that was normal.
Yeah.
Because like people in the church were constantly getting married because they date for like 6 months, get married so they could have sex. They couldn't progress, they couldn't move in, they couldn't have nights away, they couldn't go away in holidays. Some people went away in holidays and would have two separate apartments.
Oh my gosh, here's another two gas ones here, right? Number one, I wasn't allowed to go to the Gael talk because you'd learn a lot in the Gael talk, but nothing to do with Gaelga. I know, just sexualizing everything. And then this one here, and she has an asterisk, Catholic mom Louise, it's because he's a Protestant. That's why he cheated on you. They're allowed to divorce, so they will cheat.
They are only Catholic. They are the sluttier religion.
They
let's
are
not
very,
lie.
Very horny.
It is wild when you see all of
my
this.
My friend's mom ambushed, dropping her to mine for pre-drinks and brought her to mass.
What?
You're not going to those free drinks. You're going to mass first.
Oh my goodness.
Before you get the spirits inside you.
A load of people wrote being like, I was allowed to go to parties if I went to mass the next day. Like that was a bargaining tool that was used. And then you'd be fucking so in bits in mass. And your mum's looking at you as you're like sweating out alcohol. And she's like,
Oh my God.
And like the thing, you'd have your friends in church. Like I'd have my pals who were kind of on the same level as me in the youth group. Mm-hmm. And you know, we'd be like, oh, so annoying. Like I had one friend who just couldn't stand, like her mum ran, like I was brought up in the church so I was kind of more used to it, but this friend of mine, her mum had only kind of found God when she had just turned 16.
Okay.
So she had like had a pretty much like chill upbringing with no rules, and then her mum found God and she was like had to throw out all her string tops. Her mom was like, no.
Like a new convert.
Yeah, she was like,
newborn
what?
Again.
I've been wearing string tops for years. And she was like, no, slut wear.
Oh my God.
And we weren't allowed to wear like string tops to church and stuff like that. Or like you had to dress conservatively.
Yeah, it's like
church.
Modesty.
Yeah. And she just couldn't deal with it. And then you'd be like, she was my besto and that was so fun. But sometimes like you'd go to Teen Street and you'd be like, me and you, like we'll maybe sneak off. We'll do this. And like, we'll talk to lads. We'll like, you'd have your girl. But sometimes they'd get engulfed in it. You'd go over there and like
all of a sudden they're
day
like,
two, my friend's speaking in tongues, crying to one of the leaders because
so
she masturbated.
That girl?
Not to that girl, but it happened to one of my other friends who, like, you know, we'd be on the same level and we'd be going there and they'd be like I remember one year I went for like Teen Street was a week, but then one year my mum sent me off for a month in Germany.
Whoa.
And I think it traumatized me even wanting, like that fucked me up. I really hated going away because of that. Because I was sent off to Germany. We were like bopping around different parts of Germany. And I was like going to be part of, like we had to like do all these dances. And you know, we were like, I was on stage. So we were like, I was a part of the whole fucking thing. And they had American guys, a few Swedish girls and like us. And there was only about seven of us. And then all the leaders. And like these American guys were such rides. It was unbelievable. They were so hot, but you couldn't even talk to them. And you had to dress like shit around them. It was torture. And I think I was put in like my little group. And I started to tell my leader, who I'd built up this trust with. And she was really like, she was cool, you know. And I was like, I think I kind of fancy this guy. I was in sixth year, just going to go into sixth year after summer. And I hadn't kissed a guy, like sixth year. And I was like, I think I kind of fancy this guy. And I think he fancies me. And I think God is okay with it. Because like I was praying
yeah,
all
you're,
the time.
You're,
and
you're
I was
obviously
like,
trying to justify it though as well in your own way of what you know.
Yeah.
You know that way.
And they were like, okay. And they were kind of open about it. They were like, okay, we'll just like keep on praying and just make sure that it's the right thing for you and blah, blah, blah. And then when I came home, I went to some party and like I kissed this guy and it was my first kiss. And he was like this popular sexy dude in school. And I was like, oh my God. You know your first kiss, you're like, I can't believe someone fancies me. And I was so excited about it, and I had built up this trust with like my youth leaders, and like they were kind of on my level, they were kind of cool, cooler than like the older people in the church. But she rang me up on my house phone and my mum was like, Lindsay, so-and-so is on the phone. And I was like, okay, hey. She's like, hey, so come here, heard where you were saying that you're fancying a guy. It had gone around everyone.
Like, so she had found it
from my other youth.
Oh, okay.
So that she told the higher leader.
So the one in Ireland found out about what happened in Teen Street.
Yeah, because it's all connected. And she was like, so come here. Look, I've been really, really talking to God and like praying for you, babe. And he's just, oh my God, he has an amazing man for you. He has an amazing man waiting for you, but it's not this guy. And it really could affect your chances of this amazing guy that God has planned if you continue with this guy. So I just really think you should hold out. And like basically telling me that there is this absolute bona fide babe waiting for me in my future and waiting with a white rose of his virginity in a suit. You know, like in that show we were watching at the start of Choir.
Oh, what was that called again?
You know, when they meet up. The Love is Blind or something like that.
Love is Blind. Yeah, when they're like, I can't wait to see
her. They're like waiting there and it's like so virginal or something. And she like was basically painting this picture of this perfect guy in my head and saying that I would mess up my whole future if I like met this guy a couple of times. Like we called it meeting. I know some people call it shifting, but like that was as far as I was going to go in sixth year. I was 18.
This was to the German guy.
No, this was a guy when I'd come home. I'd fancied a guy in my school.
Yes.
And I told them.
Oh, okay. I thought you'd fancied a guy in Teen Street.
Thinking about it. Yes, like, I fancied the guys in Teen Street, but, like, there was no way I was going to go near them. Like, no. Because, like, you're being watched like a hawk.
What percentage would you say of people, like, that you, in the Irish church anyway, that you grew up with, like, are still, like, bet into it? Or do you think there's, like, a 50-50 kind of break off now or, like... Would you say like a lot of people break off from it and live like a what would be seen unchristian life?
From what I'm visualizing from even people that follow me, like a lot of people have broken off. A lot of people that went to your school, like Mount Temple, I think it was a lot more, you know, liberal and stuff. So I think that definitely helps some people be able to make different friends and be able to live their own lives. Talking to some people who I went to church with who I wouldn't have had, like, you know, who have just come back into my life because of ICALS, and they found ICALS and they obviously relate to it because we had similar upbringings. You know, I think they still hold so much of the shame. They're still trying to work through the kind of healing process because I'm 33 and I'm still figuring it out and having to like check on myself and check on like toxic thoughts that I give myself. Like I'll get with a guy and sometimes be like, oh, what is this? Because I'm like so embedded to think that like
it has to mean so much.
Yeah. And I don't even think that. And I've lived as like my own person. And
well, it's a subconscious thought.
It is. And I have to check myself constantly. And it is a lot to take on. And I feel like, you know, it definitely like you can extract yourself from it, but you constantly have to be checking yourself because like everyone, regardless of your upbringing, I think we are tied. Those like things that we were taught when we were young penetrate deeper than anything I think you'll learn when you're older. So you really have to continuously like, I don't know, be in a foundation of like, I know, like, I was only talking to my mum about it the other day because she was getting concerned about some shit I was doing on Instagram. And I was like, Mom, everything that I do is a foundation. I'm not flippantly doing things. It's just different than what you believe in. But like everything I'm talking about is on a belief system of like what I think is right. And a lot of it is off the back of feeling that certain things, like I think I'm so open about sex, about talking about sex, I'm so explorative about sex, I dress the way I do. It all goes back to something that is rooted in me and a foundation of me believing that that was wrong, how I was brought up, and trying to break that system and break that shame of sex and shame of how you dress or, you know, relationships, everything that's tied into it. And like, just like to live a normal life, I have to, you know, and the platform that ICALS and ex-girls has given me is that escape. And even though people sometimes want to look at us as we're like these salacious kind of women who want to talk about sex and explicit stuff and we're just racy for the sake of being racy, it absolutely is not that.
That really annoys me when people say that, but I think really what that is like that is holding a mirror up to themselves, because like if you, and a lot of people can't, so I'm not even shaming the people who can't, but if you can't listen to a conversation had by two grown ass women, one who was a mother, she having sex, baby, she got two kids. Mm-hmm. Like if you can't listen to that conversation without recoiling and projecting this kind of like hatred onto the individuals having the conversation, yes, Lindsay and I at times may be vulgar, or what you seem to be vulgar, we might have a bit of a like swear like a sailor or say like words that you don't like, but if you can't see it for what it is, which is having a conversation around sex in Ireland in a generation which, you know, I was saying to Lindsay, is one of the, probably going to be one of the first generations that are way more removed from the like shackles of Catholic Ireland, because as I said, like our parents' generation would have grown up with like very, like, I mean, our parents literally went through like corporal punishment by the nuns and the priests, you know, that
exactly,
way.
Yeah.
So like we're the first generation in Ireland that like didn't grow up to that, and that we're just that one generation more removed. So our children.
So it's my waddied down a little bit.
Yes. But our children and how we are raised in the conversation that people our age and, you know, say from 20 up to our age are having is going to be so important to the younger generations. And, you know, it's one of those things where people say, like, you know, like having those conversations, like, how is that good for people, children, hearing about sexualizing? And it's not, first of all, It Girls is not for children. We are an adult podcast. We make that very fucking clear, man. But also, if some, you know, if this trickles down, or just the conversation in general of women having conversations openly about sex, like we talked about with WAP, with Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion last week, like, if that makes you recoil and makes you uncomfortable,
or you see it as disgusting
and shameful and impure, and you have this kind of purity level spectrum of like how pristine you present yourself, and you know, this kind of idea of purity is so often put upon people in Catholic Ireland, specifically women. So if we can like chip away at that in some way, we're gonna. And if you find that really repulsive, that is a mirror up to yourself on your own ideas of sexuality and sex.
And you need to check that, just like I continuously check myself. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting, like dating and stuff, because like I said, it's easier for me to kind of hide myself a bit more to my parents when I have like a consistent boyfriend or something, because they're like, right, so that's fine. But when I'm going out dating,
because it has the veneer of normality, it's like I'm in a monogamous relationship,
and the church is very much about how everyone else is seeing you. Like that's really why I was pushed to get married, because it wasn't
actually
abhorrent to think that like that I would have a child.
Well, your parents probably didn't want you to get married at 21, but they were like, okay, well.
Well, I had told them shit that my husband had done that was like really bad, like he was abusive physically and stuff, and you know, my mom was like, okay. Yeah. Down that aisle there, you know, like, and I mean, she's grown so much from me. Like, I was the guinea pig, so I got it. I'm the eldest, so I got it harsher. Like, my sisters didn't have as much, they weren't involved in the youth group as much, so they wouldn't be as affected. Now, they still are, but for sure, I just think that, like, what you think is explicit or vulgar, I just think is completely necessary. I find, like, people connect so much with it girls, and especially ex girls, because that's where we're a lot more racier and juicier and talk about sex more graphically.
More explicitly, yeah.
I feel like Irish women, regardless of their background, even if they don't have any like religious background or if they have more liberal, like open parents, Irish women are very reserved in sex.
100%.
And, you know, that is something that needs to be spoken about. Or like,
because that's a reflection of the culture.
It is.
Because even if you want to speak about sex, it's made such a taboo that you feel like you can't. And that's how, like, even say, for example, I was brought up really liberal school, really liberal parents, putting the pill at 16, all the rest. I would still have been hush hush talking about sex with my friends, or I was still quite like embarrassed to kind of talk about like sexual experiences openly up until I was maybe in like my later years of college. You know what I mean? Like, I never was really going into any detail whatsoever on my first sexual experience,
like, only
with my
now
friends. And it's not because my friends weren't open to hearing about that, it was just that was the culture. So like, even if you want to, as an Irish woman in my generation anyway, hopefully it's changed, but even if you want to be openly talking about sex to your friends can shame you. You're like, the culture is always reflected upon you.
Yeah, there can even be just one girl who winces.
Who shames you about
it. I call it out all the damn time. Like a while ago, I hooked up with my friend's cousin and, you know, I was like, your cousin's really good at licking out. Like, I just fucking was like, there you go, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna just open this conversation. And she was like, oh my god, I don't want to hear that. And I'm like, it's just like, it's like a handshake, can we just chill? I know it's like, we don't have to sexualize sex so much when we're adults, grown adults, having consensual sex. Like,
but we don't need to be willfully ignorant of the fact that we all fuck.
I mean,
like, this whole like, you did what? It's like, you know that we're banging.
It's so, like, why can't we just talk about that in an open way? Like, it's, it doesn't have to be so crazy. Like, I mean, you know, me and my sisters will talk about like crazy sex shit. Like, I'm not like, oh, I don't want to hear my little sister and how she's gonna, like, it's sex. I want to just like, I don't like the idea that sex has to be this private thing with just you two, because I do think that that's where shit can go wrong with like consent or not knowing or not doing.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've had open conversations about stuff that I've been like, oh, was that weird? If I kept that in, which felt probably more inclined naturally to do, I wouldn't have understood a lot about sex. So just to open up and normalize the conversation, I think, is so important, especially for Irish women and Irish people, from the hangover of like Catholicism and just reserved behavior in general, and like kind of anti-sex or whatever. I think it's so important. And seeing all these messages come in where people are saying like about not being able to go on the pill, not being able to have sex, hiding out and those kind of things, I think you do have to be quite you know, I feel like you do have to be quite robust with like your kind of fight back to that. We can't just casually talk about it. We have to be quite what's the word, like quite strong with our words, you know,
you
like
have to be aggressively trying to dismantle it.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's like, I'm not exactly, I wasn't, you know, needing to tell my friend that, but I wanted to push that narrative, so to normalize it more and just kind of be like, call her out there and be like, look, this is fine. There's no need for you to be writhing around blocking your ears. I'm just talking about sex here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's probably it for this week. Girlies, next week we got a very exciting guest, so keep your ears peeled for that one. Opening up September, which is crazy.
And we're so excited to go into September. We have loads of things coming. CUMMING for It Girls and X Girls. We have an announcement for Triple X Girls soon.
Yes, we do. Girlies, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.